Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life.
Welcome to Life Matters. I'm Toni Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center in Omaha. Today, I'm joined by Joni Shepherd. She's the founder and president of Hope and Grace Global. Joni has spent decades working in abortion recovery, church leadership training, and prevention, helping churches address abortion with both grace and truth. Joni, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you so much, Toni. It's such an honor to be here with you today.
I'm looking forward to our conversation. So before we dive into the work of Hope and Grace Global, tell us a bit about your background, your faith journey, and what first led you into pro-life work.
Okay, well, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were missionary Bible translators, and I grew up in Guatemala. And then after high school, I fell fast and hard, and I ended up with two abortions by the time I was 19. And that led to other destructive choices from all the unresolved shame and trauma and loss that I didn't even recognize at the time. And then when I got married and I was pregnant on purpose, I studied prenatal development for the first time. And that's when I realized that the babies that I carried were not pieces of tissue, like I'd been told, but they had fingers and toes and beating hearts. And I was devastated. Mm-hmm. And then I got some information, some pamphlets from a pro-life organization about abortion procedures with graphic pictures, and I became suicidal. And I was just stuck with my awful self, because if I killed myself, I'd be killing another baby. And if you can't go, so I had gone to my church for help with my first pregnancy and really received nothing but shame and condemnation and no help, you know, with resources or, you know, let me walk along beside you with this. We'll figure this out together. There was none of that. And so I determined I would not tell another Christian. And so at this point, when I was pregnant and suicidal, you know, if you can't go to your church about your pregnancy, you certainly can't go to them about your abortions. Yeah. Eventually, I began volunteering at a pregnancy center in Dallas, Texas. And through the training, I began to gain some understanding of my own story. And then I began to get some healing as I counseled with women in that situation, you know, who would choose life because I was there. Yeah. And it was at that time I discovered a post-abortion Bible study. And so I asked my pastor, can I share my story and invite others to do this study with me? Mm-hmm. And he allowed me to do that. And so several women came forward and, mm-hmm. Well, not out in front of everybody, but they came to me afterwards. And so that began me leading that study over the years, probably, I don't know, I've lost count of how many times, but I also, over the years, experienced so much frustration over the church's silence. Mm-hmm. I used to beg pastors to talk about it. Yeah. I mean, the poor guys, you know, they probably felt browbeat by me. But I didn't realize they just didn't, most of them didn't know how to talk about it. Right. So, yeah. So in 2016, the Lord led me to found Hope and Grace Global to equip the church to address these difficult subjects, both proactively and redemptively.
Good, good. there's a lot to unpack there. So I have several questions, but I'm only going to ask one at a time. Just, my mind is circling with lots of things that we could talk about. And first of all, thank you so much for being transparent and sharing about your abortion experience. Can you share with us what was happening in your life and in your faith at the time you made the decision to abort?
Sure. Yes, I was a very strong believer as a teenager. I read the Bible through for the first time when I was 13, and I began leading Bible studies at that time and helping to lead worship. And so I really loved the Lord and I wanted to serve Him.
Yeah.
When I was 18, I experienced a very painful breakup. And instead of turning to the Lord to help me with that and seeking Him, I rebounded. And His best friend was waiting there for me to comfort me. I would say, quote, comfort.
Yeah.
And I found myself pregnant. And that's when I went to my church. I didn't want an abortion. I didn't even know anything about it. But after I was condemned so badly, I determined I would not tell another Christian. And I looked in the yellow pages back in the days when we had yellow pages.
Yeah.
And I found Planned Parenthood. And I thought, oh, maybe they'll help me plan to be a parent. Yeah. And I went there and they were very nice and they had a solution. And even though it wasn't the solution I wanted, I didn't feel like I had any other choices. I didn't have any support. And so I went through the abortion. It was a terrible experience. I woke up crying and throwing up, and I knew I'd done the worst thing anybody could do. Yeah. But I had to go into immediate denial about many things. And I became more promiscuous. And so it shouldn't be a surprise that I was pregnant again. And this time I knew to skip the church because who needs that? Yeah. And I had my second abortion just about 9.5 months after the first. I was a worship leader for my singles group at my church at the time. And so I was leading a very clearly a double life. Mm-hmm. And I had my abortion on a Saturday and I went to church on Sunday and smiled and acted like everything was fine. And all my smile did was really cover up the deep shame and confusion that I had experienced.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine that you really felt like you wish your community had understood what you were going through. The initial, you know, not necessarily the abortions, yes, but also where you were when you rebounded, if you have had a safe place to say, hey, this is what has happened, perhaps things would have been different.
Yes, they sure would have been. Nobody talked like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wished that my pregnancy would not have been treated like a sin. That wasn't the sin. I needed somebody to walk with me through that situation, help me find the resources and to speak grace into my life and truth about, you know, don't just say you can't have an abortion because that's murder. Talk about it. I didn't know anything about it. And then, you know, wait. Why couldn't she have waited to address my sexual sin until the pregnancy was no longer a crisis? Yeah. Because she lost the church lost their chance to speak into my life at that point.
Yeah. Joni, did you stay at that? You stayed at the church the entire time?
During the first time I was pregnant and that abortion. And then I moved back to, that was in California, and I moved back to Texas, where I had my second abortion. So I was at a different church for the second one. Yeah.
Well, you know, on your website, there's a statement that has stopped many people in their tracks. It's very similar to one. I actually was praying about this. I'll share that in a minute. But the statement that's on your website says, the most dangerous place for a baby in America is in the womb of an unwed Christian. What is that statement based on?
I know that is a very horrifying statement, but it's true, unfortunately. So in 2014, Guttmacher Institute published a study on over 8,000 women at the time of their first abortion, and they found that 54% of them identified with the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. And then in 2016, CareNet published a study on over 1,000 women and found that nearly 70% of abortions were done on Christians, many of whom were attending church regularly at the time of their first abortion. So that put me in that category.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was just praying. It's kind of funny that when I read that, it's like, anyway, this week I was, you know, just praying for those who are considering abortions. And so some years ago, there was a billboard in, I believe, New York that said the most dangerous place for an African-American baby is in the womb of its mother. And so I also said it's very similar to that. And so that's been my prayer this week, you know, God, that the safest place for a baby would become, you know, the womb for African-American women. So I can kind of understand that.
Mm.
Yeah, it's so same. I mean, same thing, but different perspectives.
Right.
It's just really, really. I would agree with you, you know, on that statement. And I think it's because the church for so long has been quiet.
Yes.
And I grew up in church, you know, and I just think sometimes we've lost the opportunity to minister to women or people that are in bad situations. Like you said, the baby was not the sin,
right?
Something else was, but not.
Yes.
We got to learn how to be a place for people to come. Hey, I've made a mistake. Hey, you know, this is where I am. If they can't come to church, if church is not a safe place, then where can they turn?
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. And it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby.
You're listening to Life Matters. I'm Toni Clark, and today I'm talking with Joni Shepherd, founder and president of Hope and Grace Global. We've been discussing abortion within the church, the unique pressures unwed Christian women face, and how churches can become places of safety, truth, and restoration. Let's continue our conversation. Why do you think abortion within the church has remained so hidden and rarely discussed?
Oh, I think there's multiple reasons. I think you already hit on the first one, and that's shame.
Yeah.
Shame demands silence because shame tells you you're the only one who's done this. You're the only one who's messed up. And then there's ignorance about this whole subject that backs up those assumptions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you think back to the history of abortion being legalized, I'm in the state of Colorado, and Colorado is the first state to have legalized abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And but going back to Roe v. Wade, it was passed on January 22nd of 73, and it was right between January 20th, when Nixon was sworn into his second term, and January 23, when he announced the end of the Vietnam War. And then 2 months later, the Watergate scandal ensued.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of passed under our radar. And most churches never mentioned a word about it at that time. I remember I was 12, I believe, when abortion became legal and Roe v. Wade was passed. And I never remember hearing it discussed. And so, but I think what happened is that now there was a new option to the dilemma of unplanned pregnancy. And I believe that parents began secretly taking their pregnant daughters to get abortions, and no one was the wiser. And nobody, another issue is nobody knows. Maybe it's the unforgivable sin. And like, we give our teenagers two choices, or I was given two choices. One, you don't have sex outside of marriage. And two, well, there weren't any other options. Yeah. But, you know, because nobody actually discussed proactively the possible ramifications of the other options, and or where we're supposed to go when we fail at our first option.
Right.
And but I think one of the biggest things for pastors is politics. You know, we don't want to get political, and we think abortion, you know, we hear that word and suddenly it's all politics.
Right.
And then there's just other obstacles, like male pastors don't have the right to condemn abortion.
Right.
They're not wanting to cause any discomfort, you know, of people who've been through that. Other things are more important. Children are often not valued the same as adults in a lot of churches. And pastors just don't know the first place to start talking about the subject.
Yeah.
And then if it's not discussed with truth and grace from the pulpit, then no one's going to feel free to tell their stories. Because again, back to the shame.
Right.
I'm the only one that's ever done this.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and once again, this is not a bash the church session. We're just talking about, we're just talking about experience and things that we see. I will say this. I grew up in a very Pentecostal church, and I'm not saying that there wasn't one, but I never remember hearing a message about abortion. I don't ever remember a life message. So, interestingly, a few months ago, I had a volunteer ask me, we were in a volunteer training, and she said, when did I know I was pro-life? And I said, that's a good question. It's not something that we talked about growing up, you know? And so I feel like at the core of who I am, I've always been pro-life, but it wasn't like a something that I grew up feeling. Now my girls will tell you, they've been engrossed in it since, you know, they were little, but for me, I can't say that this is the day, because we never talked about it. What I got was, keep your legs closed, keep your dress down, you know, things. And so it was always the negative side of, you know, this is what will happen. But it was never the value of life.
Right.
That abortion is wrong. And so thankfully, I never had to make that decision. But I will tell you, in the back of my mind, I always said, if I got pregnant, I'd just have an abortion, because I wouldn't be able to bring a baby to church.
Right, right. Too shameful.
Absolutely, absolutely. And unfortunately, I feel like maybe times have changed a little bit. Maybe I'll ask another question. Do you think that there are unique pressures due to that are due on wed Christian women today as there were back in the day?
Oh, definitely. I think that a lot of those pressures are the same as they were back in the day. You know, all the things that we already discussed, and the fear of shame, the fear of the future, and, you know, the world is loud and clear about choice, while the church is mostly silent. And so we feel like women, even today, feel like they don't have a choice. If this isn't something that has been already discussed, then, you know, it's this crisis. And often they experience pressure from the dad or from one or both sets of the parents. Yeah. And on top of that, they lack the resources to choose life. I don't think that a lot of stories are that different than mine.
Yeah. Also don't know that we really understand how influential the fear of judgment or shame, concern about disappointing the families, how much that weighs, you know, on people. I would say for me, the fear of disappointing my mother, you know, kept me in the straight and narrow for a long time.
Right.
Just don't want to disappoint them. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, yeah, it does. when you're in that crisis, it feels a lot easier to just have an abortion than to face all of that, because you're promised that this abortion is going to solve all those problems. And then you don't realize until it's too late that the church is, it's just false beliefs. And the church is full of good people who would never sin like this. And they would never accept me if they knew.
Absolutely. So you said that abortion in church is not just a moral issue, but a discipleship issue. What do you mean by that?
Well, if we're not taught the truth about God's design of our bodies and the dangers of sex outside of marriage, physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, it affects us in every way, just sex outside marriage alone. And we're not told about the long-term effects of abortion, or that we're all sinners saved by grace, and one person's sin doesn't stink less than the next person's. We're unlikely to make healthy and godly choices at some point if we don't know these things proactively. If the first time we discuss these things is when we're in a crisis, that's usually too late.
Absolutely.
If we don't have the right kind of people around us. So, you know, we criticize the world for all its sin and problems. Well, we are just as susceptible. And if we're not discipled in the things that matter most, we're going to do the same things. So I would say we need to, of course, teach the sanctity of human life. But we have to teach the sanctity of the human body, our own bodies and other people's bodies. Because if we haven't learned the sanctity of the human body before we find ourselves in this pickle, we're not going to respect the sanctity of human life. So, you know, with discipleship, these are core principles that we must start teaching from early childhood if we're going to change the tide. So, you know, teaching our preschoolers identity, starting there, and discipling everybody purposefully along the way. And if we don't do that, it's going to be too late when there's a crisis for a lot of people. And like you were talking about earlier, the church needs to be the safest place to talk about these taboo topics.
You singing my song, sister. How does silence around abortion affect a woman's spiritual life, her thing of grace, and her long-term relationship with the church?
Well, I always think of James 5:16 that says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I don't think healing can truly begin when it remains a secret. And because the shame, when you speak it, shame miraculously takes a hike when you confess your sins to other people. The devil knows the moment that we confess in safe community, his gig is up with us. So he tells us all the reasons we need to keep this to ourselves. He beats us up with shame until we learn how to successfully do that to ourselves. And when you live in shame of hidden sin, you aren't free to serve and worship the Lord with all your heart. You might become the ultimate volunteer to try to make yourself feel better, but or a lot of times you may do more shameful things because you feel so shameful. So God shows his grace the best through others saved by grace. So, you know, it's our fear and shame that prevent us from experiencing that. And again, if the church isn't the safe place, the safest place to talk about our deepest pain, we're in solitary confinement with it.
That's good. And once again, this is not a bash to church. It's just, we just want to open our eyes to see those that are hurting around us. We're talking about women and mostly women that have had abortions or contemplating, you know, the issue of life, but it can be that about anything, really. The church needs to be a safe place. And I would say this, if someone is listening today and perhaps you have had an abortion or even been a portion, you know, a part of an abortion, I feel like I just want to say to our listeners, there is grace, there is forgiveness, and that's why I talk about it. That's why we confess. You know, the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. And as long as we keep that secret inside, he's going to say, look at you, you're not good enough to do this. Look at you, no one knows that. But as soon as, like you said, as soon as we say, this is what has happened and Lord, forgive me, he can't bring that back anymore.
No.
So we need to be able to confess, receive grace, receive forgiveness, and so that we can be restored back to the Lord, which is what he ultimately wants for us.
Amen.
Well, now you're getting me riled up here.
Yes. And I just want to say, I love the church. And
absolutely.
So that's coming from somebody who's probably had more bad experiences in churches than the number of churches most people have gone to in their life. But the church was God's idea. And that's how he wants to bring redemption.
Absolutely.
His people.
Absolutely.
Please join us next week for part two of our interview with Joni Shepherd. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby, as well as find our most current broadcasts and all of our past episodes. You can also find information on our website about how you can partner with us in the life-saving work of Assure. Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on Bot Radio Network.